Rabbi Shimon Kaplan.
I want to give today a little bit of a different understanding in what's required of us on Rosh Hashanah. What exactly is the definition of the tshuva required of us in order to be considered a tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah? Let me just repeat one story. I think I said it once before here. There was a boy who went through yeshiva, and Nebuch, he left Yiddishkeit completely. There was no Shabbos, no Yontov, no Kashrus, absolutely nothing. And many years later, a friend of his from yeshiva met him and asked him, "Tell me the truth, do you miss Yiddishkeit? Do you miss it?" And he answered, "The truth is I miss Shabbos and Yontov. There's one part of Yiddishkeit I definitely don't miss. And that is Yom Noroim. Rosh Hashanah, Slichas, says Mechuvah, Yom Kippur. That part I don't miss." And it's very sad that a person should feel that way. And the truth is, a lot of us subconsciously sometimes have fleeting thoughts in our mind that we wouldn't mind maybe jumping until Erev Sukkos or Simchas Torah, to skip it. And one of the reasons why we sometimes don't look at Yom Noroim, we're supposed to look at it, we're afraid of it, we wouldn't mind doing without it, is because we all know one of the reasons. We all know the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that after Zayin Amud Beis, on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in front of him three Svarim. Tzadikim are written for a good year. Rishoyim are written in the Sifrei Mesim, and the Beinanim Tluyim Ba'oindim until Yom Kippur. And Tosfos and the Rishoyim explain what is the definition of a tzaddik: someone has schuyos more than averus. It's got more mitzvahs than averus. A rosh is somebody who has more averus than mitzvahs, and a Beinani who has mitzvahs and averus exactly equal. And we hear this Gemara, we've seen it, we know about it. And we think to ourselves, if we look at the past year, we've done so many averus. If we start thinking, and maybe we're making a mistake, but that's the way people think, I've definitely got more averus than mitzvahs. And then we think to ourselves, to get rid of the averus, I look at the Rambam, I look what it means to get rid of my averus. It's very difficult. I've got to have such charotah and such a kabbalah la'osid, such an acceptance for the future, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give witness about my gmiras aleiv, that I'm not going to return to my old ways again. And we think to ourselves, this is impossible. I'm not going to be able to change around completely. And we think, therefore, it's not possible for me to wipe out my averus in order to have more mitzvahs than averus. And this itself is also a mistake. This time we'll discuss this as well. But a person thinks about this Gemara and thinks, I can't do a proper tshuva the way which is required in Chazal, as the Rambam spells out very clearly. So I'm going to be left with more averus than mitzvahs. Therefore, I think to myself, I'm going to be written in the Sifrei Mesim. So I don't Rosh Hashanah. What's the use? I prefer to take a sleeping tablet every Rosh Hashanah and sleep right the way through till after Yom Kippur. That's the way a person might think. And this is a very big mistake. A person who thinks this way is making a drastic mistake. I want to today explain a little bit how we're supposed to look at it and what the reality is about the union of tshuva. Just one or two more questions. The famous question everybody asks and everybody thinks about: why is Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur we say Al Chait, we do Tshuva, We're getting rid of Averis. Kibayim azay yechaper aleichem b'tayr eskim kol chatiseichem f'nei Hashem t'toru. On Yom Kippur we get cleansed from Averis. We should have Yom Kippur first, get rid of those Averis, and then come to Rosh Hashanah without any Averis. We've got more mitzvahs than Averis. And then we get nichtam v'nechtam for a safe for Rosh Hashanah Tov Masukah. So why is Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? It's a famous question. Everybody thinks about it. It seems to be the wrong way around. Another question Mefarshim often ask in Tor Shulchan Aruch Tovkuf Tzadik Vav, going into Tovkuf Tzadik Zayin, that's a simon, not a year. It says there at the end of Tzadik Vav that after we finish our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, we say Kaddish. And then we go home to our houses, l'shalom, v'oichlim v'shoysim usmeichim. We eat, we drink, and we're merry, and we're happy. And we ask a question, we're in the middle of a court case, a very serious court case. When the jury goes out for deliberation, or the judge is discussing it with his colleagues, how to sentence, or what to decide, whether the person's guilty or innocent, the person's sitting there shaking like a leaf. He's not sure what's going to happen to him. So how can we go home, eat and drink, and be happy, knowing that on Rosh Hashanah it's been decided what's going to happen in the coming year? What does it mean? We can go home, eat and drink, and be happy. We're in the middle of a serious court case. We're discussing a number of points we want to clarify. This, what's in most people's head, that we prefer to do without Rosh Hashanah, we've got more Averis than mitzvahs. It's so hard to get rid of the Averis. It's so difficult, we feel it's impossible. So therefore, what hope do we have in being written for Shana Tov Masukah? The second question, why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? It should be the other way around. Let's try and get rid of our Averis first, and then we come Rosh Hashanah. Without our Averis, we can be considered a tzaddik. We've got now more mitzvahs than our Averis. So also, before we go into this properly, repeat the famous Moshe the Bali Musa. I want to bring a different nimshal than I've always understood it. The Bible must bring a marshal. There's a person walking along the beach, and he sees a number of children playing in the sand. And there's one child who's standing, looking out to sea on his own. And he walks up to the child and says, "Are the other children not letting you play with? Should I speak to them?" He says, "No. They let me play with." So why are you standing looking out to sea when the children are playing behind you? He said, "You see this flag?" He had a small little red flag in his hand. "In a few minutes, a big ship's going to go close to the horizon. I'm going to wave the flag at the ship." So he said, "What are you going to do that for? Nobody's going to notice you waving your flag." So the child says to the adult, "I'm going to wave my flag and the ship is going to respond. The captain is going to hoot the horn. He's going to respond to my waving of my flag." So he says to the child, "You're making a real big mistake. This captain looking after his big ship, he's not going to notice, and he's got much more important things in his head. Just go and play. Don't waste your time." So the child says with a smile to the adult, "The captain's my father. We haven't seen each other for many months. He's coming back to the port. And we arranged, I'm going to stand here at the seashore waving my little flag, and he's going to look with his binoculars and he's going to respond to my waving of my flag." A gewaldige moshel, I want to say today later, a different nimshel, a little bit of a different insight, which could be a nimshel to this beautiful moshel. We make a big mistake, and the main Maram HaKoymas I've got here, I can't bring all of them, not enough time, but I got from the Sefer of Tshuva, from Rav Eber, from Eretz Yisrael. And I add a few more Maram HaKoymas, but this gives us a completely different understanding of what's required of us on Rosh Hashanah. And because we often look at this wrong, therefore we don't think that we're going to manage to accomplish what we hope to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah. In Svarim it's very clear, and it's Geboten Chazal, which we'll bring the Chazal later, that in order for a person to be considered a tzaddik, to be given a label of a tzaddik, it's possible And it's perfectly okay for the person still to have with him a whole train laden with his averus from the past year or the past 50 years. A person can be considered a tzaddik even though they have with them all the averus that they've done. Tshuva does not have to be together with kaparas avonos. Of course, that's the whole package. That's the whole story, the whole tshuva. But the main part of tshuva can be done, or one can be labeled a tzaddik, independent of whether one has kaparas avonos or not. And there are many makoros for this. Let's just quote one or two of them. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet, the end of Ois Aleph. Tell me exactly where it is, in case you don't believe me. You can look it up yourself when you get home. Minchas Chinuch writes, "Be'emes tzaddik v'rosha." Whether a person is considered a tzaddik or a rosha, einoi toru tolui bekapora klal. It is not dependent on having a kapora at all. And he writes, Arias from the Gemara and Yuma, and he writes, if a person does tshuva, I'm going to have to explain later what tshuva means, without kaporas avonos, he becomes a tzaddik, the einoi tolu bekapora klal. It's not dependent on kapora at all. Kain nira poshut. This is not a big chiddush, this is poshut. A person can do tshuva, be a tzaddik, although he hasn't wiped out his averus, he hasn't said vidui, he hasn't had charota on each avera, he hasn't been mekabel al osit, he can still be considered a tzaddik to be nichta v'nechtam for a good year. Many svarim bring this. I was last week in Gates, and it was a Rosenbaum, when I was speaking to him about this, he showed me in the Keser Roish from B'chai Velozhin, in Simon Kuf Lamad Aleph, Ois Kuf Lamad Aleph, it's printed in the Gros Siddur, he says the same point, exactly. And there are many Svarim wherever we look. If we look properly, we'll see this point brought out, and it's all based on a Gemara that we all know, in Kiddushin Memtes Amad Beis. There's a mission in Kiddushin Memtes Amad Beis, which says, if a person is Mekadosh Nisha, I'm not Shani Koyim. She wants to marry a Koyim. And he says to her, yes, I'm a kohen, and I'm making the kedushin dependent on me being a kohen. If it's found out that he's not a kohen, the tanai is mavatul lemaisa. The kedushin is null and void. She doesn't even need to get, she can walk away from him. She's not married. I'm not shani levi, benimsa Yisrael. She's not married. And we've got Mishnayas in Perek Oima, I'm not sheyeshli, I've got so much money if he hasn't got it. We know clearly, the Gemara says, we never know, people like to hide their money, so you can't be 100% sure. But if we know 100% this person does not have what he says he has, or he promises to show her the money that he's got, and he doesn't do that, he can't do that, the Kedushin is null and void. But on a testament base, before the mission of the Gemara, and the Gemara says, if somebody's Mekadosh and Isha, Amanosha Nitzadik Gomu, Amanosha Nitzadik, says the Gemara, Afilu Rosha Gomu, even if it's a Rosha Gomu. Rosha Gomu means a Rosha Gomu. We don't know what that means even. Rosha Gomu. That's really bad. So the Gemara Mekudeshes, Misofik. But he said, I'm a Rosha Nitzadik. We know he's a Rosha. Says the Gemara, Shema Hiru Tshuva Bedaitai. Maybe in his mind, in that split second, he was Mahara B'tshuva, and therefore he's got a label of a Tzadik, and therefore the Kedushin Schal, because it's a Kiyum Atnai. If he says it's a coin and found out he's a Levi, there's no Kedushin. If he says it's a Tzaddik, and we know it's a Rosh HaGomo, we're Chayesh LeKedushin. But we know it's a Rosh HaGomo. Maybe in that moment, and we know he's a Rosh from 10 minutes ago, he did terrible Averis 10 minutes ago. Zok de Gemara, Shema Hir Tshuva Bedaita, maybe in his mind, at that moment, he was Mahara B'Tshuva. Zok an Alam HaFoshim, and the Tzchinuch brings the Gemara, how can you do Tshuva in a second? You've got to be Mechapa. If you're going to have kapora, you've got to make an alchet for each aveira, a charota, and a kabbalah la'asid. It takes time. Yeah, it's the same nekuda. Yeah, richtig. Like Gemara Benezman Dadaya. Could be this is a pshat there. Could be it wasn't a kapora savonis, this was a nekuda. Yes, I was thinking of that. In Gemara state, but not even b'shoachas, in 1 second. This is initially 2-3 seconds. Shemehira tshuva bedaitoi. State in the Gemara klar. A person can be called a tzaddik, even without kaparas avoinus, because it's not possible for him to mechapa avoinus in that split second. So shteitach in the Gemara, that a person can become a tzaddik in a second, when the Gemara Rosh Hashanah writes, a person's got more avoinus than mitzvahs, that's if he doesn't do any tshuva. Then he's nichtav in the Sifrei Mesim. But if a person does tshuva, and we're saying here, you're called a tzaddik, it says Mefurish in the Gemara, even without doing a tshuva to mechapa averus, the person's a tzaddik, and he's nichtav v'nechtam b'sifrei tzaddikim l'chaim tovim v'sholem. So what exactly is this hira tshuva b'daita, which you meant to do in 1 second? And the Sforim explain as follows. A person does an avera, he's distancing himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every avera, he's distancing himself further and further. Every avera, he's covering his neshama, the chedek elekai b'mal, with a dirt, creating a mechitza between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sforim writes that the yesoid of hira tshuva is the thought, obviously a genuine thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enough. I want to return to you. I want to come close to you. I want to come back to you. The Mabit writes in the beginning of Shara Tshuva, Geder HaTshuva, what is Tshuva? Is to have the thought, I want to return and become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi Sanhedrin, Tzadik Tess Madala, for the same thing. A person is distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Averis, and then he decides, enough, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the translation of Tshuva, return. I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that thought, when it's a thought seriously, that is the tshuva required to be considered a tzaddik. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in a letter that's printed in Mevakshei Torah, he writes, Im ki tshuva hei maziva zachet b'charota gemura al ova kabbal al osid, the Rambam, as we know, charota and kabbalah, b'chol zois, eileheim rak tnaya tshuva. And I've seen a number of people of Poiskim and Gedolim were right. It's a Tnai in Tshuva. It's a Tosefes in Tshuva. It's the whole package. Avel HaTshuva Atzmo, the Ikke Tshuva, he Atzimoy in Loshav El Hashem. The thirst to return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of us want to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand the Kirvus and the Kimri Toiv. Being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the greatest pleasure a person can have. We believe in Olam Haba. We believe in Schar V'Oinish. We believe there's a purpose why we were created. We get carried away during the year from different influences that influence us continuously, but in our heart of hearts, we all feel the emes, and we all want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That genuine thought of, I want to return, I'm thirsting to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that thought is tshuva. That makes a person into a tzaddik, and then we're written by Sifrei Tzaddikim. What exactly is the thought? Some people seem to imply it means, I've had enough of the way I've been living till now. I regret the way I'm living till now. I want to return. In Michtam Melios is a bigger chiddush. It's a chedek base, page 81. He writes that he understands from the Gemara, even if a person does not think about charota, regret, he's just thinking, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His lashon is, ki b'shul machlit l'skarav el Hashem, mikan labo harei unikra tzadik. This is a chiddush. Even with, this is Reb Dessler, the Gross of Bali Musa, the Rebbe of many Bali Musa. He writes, even without charota, a person is called a tzaddik. Others write, with charota, with regret, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He writes, even without charota. So when we think to ourselves, this is not beyond our reach. This is definitely not beyond our reach. This time we'll discuss, even the Kaparas Avonis is not beyond our reach. But let's first speak about tshuva. It's not beyond our reach. It's not something we can't do. This is something everyone can do. And that is sufficient to be called a tzaddik. We don't Shemone Esra, until I saw it in that sefer, I never noticed it even. We say in Shemone Esra, I've been saying Shemone Esra for many, many years, I never noticed this. Suddenly it hit me when I saw it. We say, Hashiveinu avinu seresecha, v'kaveinu makin labitzecha, v'achsein b'shuva shem b'vnecha, boruch atah Hashem aritz b'shuva. Next bracha, slach lon levini kichatonu. It's two brachas. The Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla were meyased the Nusach HaTvila. And they put one brach of tshuva and one brach of slach lo levini kichatanu. Quite clearly, there's two parts. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes and others write, the ikke is the first part. V'achzireinu b'shuva shleim lefnecha, return me. Haroitze b'shuva. That's one bracha. That's tshuva that can make a person into a tzaddik. Then there's kaparas avoinus. As Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, that's a tnai in tshuva. That's a tisefes in tshuva. That's the complete package. But the ikka tshuva is achsrein b'shuva shreim l'fanecha. There's two brachas. There's two brachas in Shmoneh Esra, which imply it's two parts. Now we begin to understand why Yom Kippur is before Rosh Hashanah. Right, Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? We ask the question, how can we have a Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? We need to first get rid of our Averis. And after we get rid of our Averis, then we can be considered tzaddik. We've got more mitzvahs than Averis, because Averis are gone. The Torah says we don't need Yom Kippur to be before Rosh Hashanah. Because the tshuva required in Rosh Hashanah, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzimoy in the karev el Hashem. I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because that is the tshuva, we don't need the kaparas avoinas yet in order to reach that darga of tshuva to be nichtav and nechtam for a shana tova. And it's more than that. A person who claps lachlonu and alchait without that thought, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a joke. That's got to be first. It's not just it can be first, it's got to be first. The first part of the process, I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enough. I've distanced myself too much. I want to return home. I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After we've done that, now we want to do the second stage to correct the past and rub out the past. Then as we look in the parsha in this week's Edra, parsha Tzovim, we literally see it in the Psukim. The Pasuk writes in Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki HaMitzvah Azois. And the Rabban writes that this mitzvah refers to tshuva. Asher anoichi metzava hayoyim, loy nifleisi mimcha, voloy rechoy kili b'shamayimi. It's not in heaven. Loy me'even ayamhi. It's not across the seas. As the Mefarshim explained, what does that mean? I can remember once, when I wanted to go to Manchester, I was living in Gateshead, for Yom Kippur to be the Manchester Shiva. So as I was getting in the car, out of Yom Kippur to drive to Manchester, so he passed me and he said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Manchester for Yom Kippur. So he said to me, no you're not. He says, you sinned in Gateshead, you jolly well do tshuva in Gateshead. So, I wasn't sure, maybe he's right. And then I saw the Rishonim explain, Lo me'eved ayam hi. I saw the Rishonim explain, even if you sin in a different place, you don't have to travel there to do tshuva. You can do tshuva wherever you want. So he's wrong. You can do tshuva wherever you want. You don't have to go to the place and the spot where you did the Avera. But the Torah writes, it's not Me'eved Ayam, it's not Bashamayim. Ki korev eilecha adov emoyim depicha bevav chal asayisoy. And this week I understood different pshat in the Pasuk. It's close to you. It's in your mouths, in your heart. You can do it. That's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us, don't worry. The mitzvah of tshuva is not impossible. Don't think I'd prefer to do without the Yom and the Roim. It's easy. You'll see Leni tomorrow. You'll feel it. When you read these psukim, the Torah telling us, this mitzvah of tshuva is not unreachable. It's reachable for everyone. In 1 second, we can become a Sadi Gomel. A Yid came to Rabbi Leib Steinman, Zayin Gesund und Stark. He said to him, I've got a nice voice, and a very chosh of a shul asked me to become the Baal Tfilah. I'm very honored to be offered to daven Yom Neroim in this shul, but a major problem I've got. How can I daven in front of such a chosh of a tzibur? I know myself, I've got so many averus. I'm not worthy of davening for such a chosh of a tzibur. What should I do? You like the story, say, from Hashem Tov. And what was this man worried about? The Mishabur brings down from Eli Rabba, if a person davens for the Omad, Yom Neroim, he's not worthy of it. He says terrible things. So he said, I'm scared of Eli Rabba, the Mishabur brings it down. How can I daven for the Omad in front of Shachosh Vatibu? Which reminds me of the story that Baal Shem Tov, Baal Tfilah, died. So he told his Gaboim, take this person as a Baal Tfilah. He said to him, he's got a terrible voice. So look, a Baal Tfilah is 20 milers. Yerushamayim, Midas Toivas, Kirvas Hashem, he reckoned 20 milers. He says, where do you find someone who's got 19 out of 20? Take him as a Baal Tefillah. And the story goes, and a miracle happened, and he had a beautiful voice. Of course, that's the story's usually end. But they said the story over, that's what they say, to the Biskarov. I'm not sure if this is either true. And the Biskarov said, I don't understand the story. He said, having a good voice is not a tznai in a chazan. If you haven't got a good voice, you're not a chazan. You can say you're a Shemaim, Midas Toivas, that's all Tznoim in being a Chazan. Because I don't understand the story. It's not Pshat that there's Tznoim in being a Chazan to have a good voice. If you haven't got a good voice, you're not a Chazan. You can't stop declaring about the Tznoim. That's the Biskarov. Homer was a fact in the story. So our friend, our Yid, comes to Rabbi Leib Steinman, Zayin Gesund, and he says to him, Rebbe, what should I do? I can't dance for the moment. Who am I? What am I? How can I dance for such a Chosh Vatibu? Rabbi Aaron Leib said to him, very simply, I don't understand the Shaila. What's your Shaila? From the time you go from your place to the Bima, to the Omud, in those seconds when you're traveling, when you're walking those 10 footsteps, Bima Hara B'tshuva, you want to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're a tzaddik. You're worthy of Daniel Philometer. It's a true story. Moedig HaMaisa. This is the same point again, which we're seeing, we're bringing out today. This new Chiddush discovered this year, that tshuva, to be called a tzaddik, needs a hero. I want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw that sefer, a gewaldig moshel, a good dugma of a moshel to understand this. A person's traveling to London by car. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. He arrives in London 1 o'clock. No average speed cameras, no average speed limits, no diversions that can happen anymore. He arrives to London 1 o'clock. His friend leaves Manchester 11:30. At 1 o'clock, his friend is halfway to London. Who's close to Manchester? His friend. The first person is further away. He's 200 miles away. He's only 100 miles away from Manchester. The person in London, Reuben, decides, I'm returning to Manchester now. He turns around his car and heads towards the M1. In kilometres, he's further away from Manchester. If you look at it properly, from the right perspective, he's closer to Manchester. Because he's on the way to Manchester. The other person might be close in miles, but he's travelling away from Manchester. Zogte, that's a gewaldige moshel. That's a moedige moshel of tshuva. It doesn't matter how far we are. And we think to ourselves, look at those people, they're so much closer. Or I've done so many things wrong, I'm thousands of miles away. If we decided to make that U-turn and start the journey back, we're closer, much closer. Because it depends on which direction we're heading. And that's a moshel to understand this nekuda. A person's got a thirst, a machshava, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a journey. It's going to take time and his work to do on the way. But that moment he's decided to return, he's closer to Manchester. He's closer than the person who's halfway but heading in the other direction. And that thought is what counts. That makes a person into a tzaddik. And I think that's pshat, that beautiful moshel the Baal HaMusa say. This child's lifting up that little red flag. And he tells the adult, I'm a little boy standing at the seashore with a tiny, mini flag. There's a big ship with thousands of people on board traveling at full speed on the horizon. I lift up my flag. The ship's going to respond. And that's the flag. That's the nimshel. The flag is, I'm going to lift up my flag. What am I doing it for? I'm trying to send a message to my father. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to be together with him again. Although he's distant, far away. But this is the first glimpse I can have of where he is. We'll meet again later, soon in the port. I lift up my flag. I do this little action to show him that I'm waiting for him. I want to go into his embrace again. I want to be close to him, although we're still at the moment so distant. Zokta Bali Musa, if the captain's the father who loves the child, he'll wait for that little flag to be waving. He'll look at it through his binoculars. He'll respond to make a huge hoot from the ship's horn. He'll respond to that little flag waving. And that's us. We're that little person. And we're waving our little flag to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our father. We want to come closer. We're waiting to be close. We've been waiting. We want to change our ways. We want to move in the opposite direction. That little action makes a tremendous response. We get a hoot from Shamayim. I'm ready to welcome you. You've done Gevaldig. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm going to write you Besifre Tzadikim. That's what's required of us in Rosh Hashanah. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the same Gemara to Zayinim at base, by Yishmol, Chazal tells us he did terrible Averis. Terrible Averis. We cannot fathom the Averis he did, although living in the house of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sends him away. He's traveling through the desert with his mother and they're dying of thirst. When Chazal tell us, Vayef, when he cried, he did tshuva. And Akshpoch was about to save him. The Malachim said, why do you want to save him? You know what this fellow's going to be doing next week, a month down the line, and in future generations? What are you trying to save him for? He's going back to his old ways tomorrow after he's had his drink of water. Impossible shteik ba'ashu shom. And some people say that's the reason why we lay in that parsha on Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us, Omar Reb Yitzchok ain't done in a sodom el fi ma'isa shleisa shah. Depends on that moment. It depends on that moment. We say we want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking into the future, what type of year we're going to have, how we're going to behave in the coming year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking at that. He's looking, Ba'ashu Hashem, this person is waving his little flag. He wants to return. He wants to come back. That's what counts. By Shmuel, a miracle happened. He was saved. A well appeared. His life was saved. But us, we wave our little flag. We want to come back. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for. That's Ba'ashu Hashem. Now we understand a little bit. The Torah, a lot, we understand it. The Torah writes that after davening we say Kaddish and we go home in peace. For oichlim v'shoisim usmeichim. We drink, we eat, and we're merry and we're happy. And we ask, you see, the Shabrua sort of asks that question. We ask that how can we be smeichim, oichlim v'shoisim in the middle of a court case? And the answer is very simple. Let me bring out the Meir Dorosh Moshe. Moshe Feinstein brings it out. Normally a person's in the middle of a court case, the person has his lawyer presenting his defense, the prosecution, or putting their story forward, and later the judge deliberates with his colleagues, or the jury goes out to deliberate for many hours, and the person sitting on Spilkers, what's going to be decided? It's not in his power to decide the outcome, whether he's going to be guilty or innocent. It's the judge, it's the jury. He's now tried his best to present his case. It's now not in his control what happens. And he sits there saying tilim, sittering. He's got no cheshek whatsoever to go and eat and drink and be happy. He's waiting for the verdict to come back. So to Moshe Feinstein, the din Torah, the mishpat of Rosh Hashanah is completely different. It's not the judge who decides what's going to happen to me. It's myself who decides. I decide exactly what's going to happen. It's in my power to decide if I'm going to be Besifre Tzadikim or Besifre Mesim. It's me who's going to decide. And when we stand Rosh Hashanah, we hear a shofar, and we say the davening, every person does get inspired at some point during the daven, or at many points during davening. The person does get inspired and says, Malchias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're my king, you created me, I'm your child. When a person says Pesukim of Malchias slowly, and he speaks about that, Rabbi Shem Miyam Melech, he transports himself away from the Havli Olam, from the Shekh of the Welt. He starts realizing the reality of life, the purpose of life. A person in those moments on Rosh Hashanah in the morning, when he's davening, when he's hearing the shofar, he gets uplifted and he has within him a desire to become a better person, a thirst to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody has those thoughts at some point during davening. And it's those thoughts that count. That's the ik of tshuva. The kaparas avoinus, we said before, is only tosefes, is a t'nain tshuva, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zogt. The ik is, I want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person has those thoughts in davening, he's considered a tzaddik, he's nichtav v'nechtam l'chaim tovim v'lsholom. The medes of Rav Moshe Feinstein, pshat in the Torah is, we come home, we go home l'sholom. We're at peace with ourselves. Oichlim v'shoysim v'smeichim. It's not up to the judge to decide. It's not up to a jury. It's up to us. If we've done what we're supposed to be doing, we've had that hira tshuva, we can be rest assured, things are b'seder. We've got a Shem Tzadik. We've got a Shem Tzadik. And that's where we can go and we can be happy and we don't have to worry about what's going on. We can eat and drink, be the Mishamurazot, Sayontav, we're supposed to be Samechim. Because we know we've done what we could do and it's not beyond our reach. We've discussed today that the tshuva and to be called a Tzadik does not depend on Kaparas Avoinus. And that's the reason why Yom Kippur is after Hashanah. It doesn't have to be before because we don't need the Kaparas Avoinus to be called a Tzadik. We don't need it. It could be a Tzadik without it. That's the next Avoida which we have to do. But that's not what's going to decide our fate on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur, and it's daika before Yom Kippur, not just it can be before Yom Kippur, because that's the real process that we're supposed to go on. That's the Seidat Dvarim. First we want to have a Simoyim to come close, and then we do Kaparas Avoinus. If we internalize this, new understanding in what tshuva is, we come to the shalom with a confident, with a simcha, we enjoy saying malchias. Now, but we won't be like that boy we started off with, who says, that's one part of Yiddishkeit I don't miss. It's because he wasn't programmed right, he wasn't told the right information, that's why he came out with that conclusion, that's why he didn't miss it. If we have the right understanding of what tshuva, what Akshpoch wants from us, then we're going to look forward to it. It's malchias, it's a time when we stand in Shemoneh Esrei and we think, Rebbeinu Shlomo, you're the Melech Olam, it's a time to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Tzemoyin Hashem, and that will be get Hashem Tzadik, and we're nichtav to attack HaKsivah HaKsimah Tovah. Amen.